is still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
Let's go. Let's go. Baseball isn't boring. I almost killed myself. The Fenway Ford Clubhouse, Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios are here at Fenway Park. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I almost died.
The hell just happened?
I almost died. I can't take another fall. I have one fall per season. Ken Laird is sticking around for a few minutes.
Hi, Rob.
I'm Rob Bradford. Joe Braben behind the glass. What do you got for me, Joe? What do you got?
McFarland.
Thank you, Ken. Come on. What do you got?
McFarland.
Oh, see, that's a little gusto. It's a little gusto. Who's taking over? Intern Jacob?
Intern Thomas.
Intern Thomas. I always get it messed up. Intern Thomas. Tommy. Tom. Tom. What do you got for me, Tom?
McFarland.
All right. It's getting there. It's getting there. All right. We need McFarland more than ever. Actually, we don't, because I'm shot out of a cannon because it's the great game of baseball. Yay, baseball. We have such an eclectic, great show coming up. And I don't usually say that. Usually I just sit in the chair and yap for 3 hours and people just call in and talk. But I'm kind of excited about what is going to transpire over the next 3 hours. A, we have Ken Laird here. Say hello, Ken.
Hello.
I don't mean to tell you what to do. You're my boss. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for all you do, Rob. And you're just back from a very tedious road trip. It did not go well, correct?
Oh, I mean... the wedding part went well.
Oh, but I mean, the Mets, weren't you at Shea?
Yeah, it went well for me.
Okay.
It was like, I had a lot of great interviews. I loved it.
A lot of Mets interviews I saw, which is probably a smart
move. You know, you go.
I mean, lean into the Mets.
Lean into the, lesson learned. Lean into the Mets right now. What do they want? Eight in a row.
With help from the Boston.
And by the way, we get the 30 for 30 on Jose Iglesias' song, which I think anyone who wants to go to at BB Isn't Boring, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast feed to get the what's what when it comes to Jose Iglesias talking about his song, talking about his time with the Red Sox, and also breaking big news that a remix for OMG is going to be dropped later this month with a very notable artist, which he wouldn't say. And I put it up on Twitter? I mean, I got like 500 guesses.
Wow.
People love this thing. I mean, Kenley's wearing the shirt. I mean, the whole thing, they love this thing. I know who it is now, but I'm not going to say. But I know who it is. You okay. Can get, who do you got? Who you get?
Billie Eilish.
No.
Ken, okay. I will give you $1,000 of my salary if Billie Eilish and Jose Iglesias.
First of all, you don't have $1,000 of your salary.
Exactly. That's how confident I am.
Could be a family connection.
That would be the ultimate collab remix of Billie Eilish.
Okay, Billy Idol.
It's not getting any better.
Okay,
it's not getting any better. A lot of people thought Bad Bunny. A lot of people thought Bad. And I know you're a big Bad Bunny guy.
Of course.
Right? Okay.
Who isn't?
So anyway, yes, the vibes were high for Mets fans at Citi Field. They were not high for the Red Sox. So like you said, to set the scene, Brian Abraham, now this is behind the scenes, behind the curtain. We aren't paying Brian Abraham, but he comes on every week.
Well,
he's honestly better than Adam Schefter. I mean, let's be honest. You're saving all kinds of money.
And they're building the prospects, and the prospects are legit, and they're close, and we need info, and they're not coming for some reason, but they're close.
You see every week, you see the metrics. The ratings go through the roof when he's on.
Yeah.
And he's smart, though. You build the foundation, and then next year, when we ask him to do it, he asks for all kinds of money, and we say no. So, but Brian Abraham's coming on at 1:30. A member of the Baseball Isn't Boring family, if you follow Baseball Isn't Boring, you'll know her, Courtney Finnegan, who does a podcast with Johnny Gomes called Pitch and Moan under the Baseball Isn't Boring umbrella. But she is the most anguished White Sox fan that you'll ever meet, and she's calling at one because I feel like we need to set the scene about as bad as you think it is for being a Red Sox fan. The White Sox situation, oh my goodness, OMG, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. How I was kind of wondering, Ken, going to their clubhouse, being around the dugout, what that dynamic is like. I mean, how do you explain, how do you, as a player, as a fan, how do you do that?
Right. Well, and then yesterday, I'm here at the game last night, and you're down 1-0 to that team. And like, even though it was a couple of innings, it's just the feeling to be losing to one of the worst teams we've ever seen.
Well, we talk about how bad the Red Sox have been at home. I think that one dynamic, which maybe I'm completely wrong about, but I'm digging in on anyway, teams like the White Sox come to Fenway Park. And right now, like this is like the highlight of their season. They have somewhat of a crowd. They have a great ballpark.
True.
It's all of it. Right now, Ethan Katz, the pitching coach for the White Sox, is out there with his kid, throwing him wiffle balls to hit over the left field wall. Like, how awesome. This is the highlight of Ethan Katz's season right now.
Well, great. But you're the Red Sox. You're still in a wild card chase. You had five hits left.
All I'm saying is that you're going to get the best version because they're like get a little adrenaline flowing. But for the White Sox, that's only going to last four or five innings until you give up a home run to Sedan Rafael. But point well taken. This is you're sitting there down 1-0 to the White Sox, and you're thinking, OMG, it always comes back to Jose Iglesias. OMG, I can't believe there might be a scenario where the White Sox do something that they haven't done the entire year and sweep a team, and it's going to be the Red. Wouldn't that be the ultimate dagger, the ultimate punctuation?
Well, Curtis said if they don't sweep Chicago, Cora should be fired, and he's not far off. I mean, but let alone get swept. I mean,
listen, let's not do the fire thing, because when you have guys who just signed contracts, whether you want it to happen or not, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So we have Courtney Finnegan, who is going to take the daggers out for the White Sox, which I always love. Like I said, Brian Abraham at 1:30. And then the first ever, because this is all about the children are our future, Ken, the future. The Woo Sox, we need the Woo Sox Power Hour. So we have sideline reporter Natalie Norrie and the guy who's on the broadcast today for the Red Sox for WEI, Red Sox Radio Network, or however you want me to phrase it, Tyler Murray. They're both going to be in studio. And not only are they going to be talking about giving the what's what when it comes to the Woo Sox, we are doing the first ever Woo Sox Wasabi Challenge.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, Tyler's one of us. He's one of ours. So I hate to frame him as a Woo Sox guy.
Where is he more at? Where place is he at?
He is a rising star in the business. Tyler Murray.
I'm not arguing that.
Okay, I'm just saying. Don't
get so defensive.
Don't box him in as the Woo Sox guy. He is a Red Sox voice.
Has he covered? Has he
a great job.
Has he seen more Worcester Red Sox games than Red Sox games this year?
He has suffered through quite a few losses in Worcester this year, but not now. Now they're a good team.
Okay, but all I want is someone boots in the ground.
Okay.
Natalie and Tyler. Don't. Why are you so defensive about this?
Just saying,
the branding of it. Like, it's like, okay, Tyler's here. He's doing a great job.
He's on the call today.
He's on the call with Will Fleming today. He will be up in the broadcast booth talking about all these players, including Luis Guerrero, who we'll get to, who is now, he can give a much more educated opinion than you can because he's been watching it. So you should be happy that you have half Red Sox, half Woo Sox guy.
Fine. And he'll be on the call for Trevor Story's return tonight.
Thank you.
That starts the playoff push.
I mean, so this is where I want to maybe make a glass half full statement, and this is probably going to be the last time in 3 hours that I do this. The Sedan Rafael, much like I proclaimed Brennan Bernardino's out against Yordan Alvarez as the biggest out of the season, Sedan Rafael's home run could have been, if we could look back at, as the biggest hit of the season. All right. And it's because you need jumper cables. You need somebody. You need something to basically push you forward and give you some optimism, because there is no doubt about it that part of this equation, this is in their head. This is in these younger players' heads. This is when you're striking out as much as they're striking out, when you're having that sort of image, like they're having that sort of image throughout this awful, awful stretch. Yes, a big part of it is lack of ability, but another big part of it is that you are in your own head. Correct? Yes or no?
Well, correct, and I'm sure you'll speak to this before the end of the program, but the things you had positive this year, you still have Duran, he's probably your MVP, but you're losing some of the other signature pieces of the year if you continue down this road. One of them is Devers, your star, your leader, and his either media...
We'll get to that.
Delicacy.
We'll take a deep dive into that.
And forget about that. Just his performance at the plate, whether he's hurt or not, he's killing the team right now. And not so much last night, but the last couple weeks. And then Cora, who got the big money contract for the team to just collapse again, how do you spin that narrative positively to the fans if it goes this way again for, what, the third straight year?
Oh, yeah.
Where post-All-Star...
22, 23, 24.
It feels like you lost the team. So this is... I think these are a really critical couple weeks for the the Reds.
Well, if you want to know why they've landed here, there's a lot of reasons why they've landed here. Like, you can... And I get it. I'm sure... I forget the guy who always calls up and rails against Cora. I mean, this is a sweet spot today. But... You have that. You have certainly the trade deadline. You have the swing and miss, the strikeouts. You have, you know, Devers not falling apart probably because of injury. But you have all of that. But if you look at it, if you want to have like the analytical statistical reason, the main number one reason, what would it be? Before I tell you the facts.
Well, the roster construction before the
year. What has been the thing that has hurt since the All-Star break?
They were
a season high 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break.
Right.
I don't know if you know this. They are one game over 500.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, they're scoring two runs a game the last few weeks.
Yeah. It's absolutely been the offense. But overall, where they dug themselves this hole was ... Ken Laird.
I mean, they needed better starting pitching at the deadline.
Okay.
And they didn't get it. They got James Paxton.
You're missing it. Bullpen. The bullpen, the worst ERA, the worst batting average against, the worst OPS against. And get this. Coming into last night, Ken, since the All-Star break, they have given up 36 home runs. 36 home runs. Think about that. 36 home runs. The Oakland A's during that stretch have given up 10.
Yeah.
And so,
but again, it's the trickle down, right? Because Criswell had to come back into the rotation. If Paxton, if you get somebody better than Paxton at the deadline,
listen,
that could have made a difference.
I think if we're the blame pie power ranking, I'll be happy to get into it. And I see everybody lined up 617-779-7937. We can pick through this because there has to be something. Because as you said, you cannot land in another September where we have to default to a terrible Patriots team in a quarterback controversy, which is exactly what we're doing. Like, yeah. That was the hope.
Yeah.
That was the hope where we would land the Baseballs and Boring Show on September 7th, and we'd be like, okay, here we go. Here we go. Finally, a good September. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but I'll come back to the bullpen thing, which is after the All-Star break, you don't have Slayton, you don't have Martin. You don't make up for that. You devalue that. You blow a bunch of games in the eighth inning. You blow a bunch of games late. Then you try to fix it at the trade deadline. Luis Garcia, Lucas Sims, that obviously has been an utter failure. And so through all of that, like, and then it hasn't stopped.
Well, if that's what you blame, then you blame Breslow.
I think they were totally put on their heels coming out of the All-Star break where it was right in front of them about how – you thin everything was, especially late in the game. And then when you talk about the trade deadline, Ken,
yep.
You cannot – yeah, obviously, you know, you hit on some and you miss on some. It's sort of a crapshoot, especially when it comes to relievers. But to me, if you look at the guys who have succeeded, either the teams were very, very smart in terms of how early they did it. Phil Maton for the Mets went from the Rays to the Mets for cash on July 9th. They would kill for Phil Maton, in case people don't know. And then the rest of these guys, Michael Kopech, A.J. Puk, Scott in San Diego, Jason Adam in San Diego. You had to pay something to get these guys. There was a price to pay to get these guys. But you know what? Because they got these guys... they actually were able to weather the storm. And what makes it even more frustrating is that if you did that, I feel like, and starting pitching too.
Zach Eflin, 5-0, sub-2 ERA. You tried to get him in the offseason. He was there for the taking at the deadline again, and they still didn't get the job done.
Excellent point by you. Zach Eflin.
Flaherty.
Lorenzen's on the IL right now. Jack Flaherty. But if you did that, as inexperienced as this team is, as much as the offense have struggled, all of that, if you did that, you had a Kansas City and a Minnesota team in front of you taking on water. It is unbelievable over the last couple of weeks how bad they have been.
Yep.
And this is the only reason why we're sitting here even talking glass half full and not just talking from stem to stern about Christian Campbell. But that's it. It is incredible. And so when we're talking about blame pie, power ranking, whatever it is, this is where we have to start. This is where we have to start. Tell me I'm full of hooey. 617-779-7937. All right, what do you got? Anything before you leave?
I wish you well today. The callers are.
I'm not embarking on like a cross.
Well, the callers,
cross ocean.
They should be angry. I mean, if you're a Sox fan, you should be angry. I mean, you laid it out well, and they had a chance to be a wild. You have three wild cards. If you can't get in the mix with three wild cards these days, something's wrong. You screwed up somewhere, even for this team where expectations were low.
Yeah, and then we haven't talked about the Rich Hill thing.
Yeah.
Which obviously we're friends of Rich Hill. We like Rich Hill. It's a great story. And I do think that, I hope he gets picked up by somebody. And I understand why you want to get Luis Guerrero in here. But I do think the last two times, he pitched four times, really, really good the first two times. The last two times, we're so curious about how he was used. It was so weird. And then so you get those two times and see you later. But and then you have everyone, this was a joke. This was a joke that even had him. Well, were you saying that after the first two times he pitched? No. And so I'm not saying he was a solution, but all of it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's managing. It's GMing. It's playing. It's relieving. It's starting. And it was all right there. It was all right there, Ken. And not only was it all right there to be in a better spot, to have a more exciting September, but as we said last week and have we said all along, if you get there this year, holy mackerel, you can do it. Like,
right.
One scares you.
And wouldn't have that been nice to see Duran and Rafaela and others get a taste of the postseason, even if you're bounced in a series, just to get a little taste of it?
Go back to Tyler O'Neill's quote that he gave me. I forget where it was, but he said, we were talking about going to trade deadline. I want to be here because I want to experience what it's like in Boston. I've seen it on TV. Right. I want to experience it. All right. You're going to experience some good family time. Go forth. All right, Ken Laird, again, 617-779-7937. Great show coming up. Great trending coming up right now with Joe Braverman.
One on, one out, tie game, and Sadon swings and drills one. Deep left field, back to the monster, and gone! Sadon's got the clutch gene, and a two-run homer puts the Red Sox in front 3-1.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
There you go, indeed. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Baseball, baseball, baseball. Yay for the game of baseball. Baseball's a boring show. I'm Rob Bradford. Joe Braverman behind the glass. That was, of course, Tyler Murray, who is going to be joining us for the WooSox Power Hour at 2 o'clock, along with Natalie Norrie, WooSox sideline reporter, in studio. First ever WooSox Wasabi Challenge. I know, Joe, you're looking forward to that. Get ready.
I am so excited.
Get ready. It's weird because I ran out of time. Again, we like bringing everybody behind the scenes in baseballs and boring. I ran out of time, so the text that I never thought I would be sending to Natalie Norrie, which is, can you please pick up some wasabi on your way in? So, poor Natalie, where she found some wasabi, I think, at the supermarket, but it's not really the spicy stuff. And obviously, we need, in order for this to take root, we need the reaction for the people who fail the test. The wasabi, which is challenged. And that could be me. I've done it, and I failed it. But Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies, they're obviously a title sponsor of baseball. Isn't boring. And McFarland is a sponsor of this podcast, and that's why I want to yell McFarland to everybody. Yep, McFarland, McFarland, McFarland. Because no matter where the Red Sox are in the standings, it is a great day to be here at Fenway. It's a great day to listen to this show. Speaking of greatness, Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Bradford, back at the beginning of the year when I said all I want is that we're playing meaningful games in September, I wasn't expecting that it would be against the White Sox needing to sweep to have a chance to make third place. I mean, this wasn't what I had in mind, but I guess the bottom line is, these are still, I have a reason to watch tonight.
You're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance. And, I am, Trevor Story is, pretty amazing. Not that I'm not counting on a lot from him, but it is pretty amazing that he made it back. I was a little surprised that they're going to have Rafaela play second. Are you at all concerned about?
No, I think that they know that they have to put their best players out there. And, that their best outfield probably is, Duran, Abreu, O'Neill, that dynamic. And, with you want to keep Rafael out there and I think that he can function at second base. Now, the bigger question, Jeff, is this something they're actually looking at next year? Which I think that this offseason, and I'll let you go in a second about whatever you want to talk about, but I think this offseason is going to be like so intriguing. We say this a lot, but I can see them doing a lot of things where this does not look anything like what we have right now.
Well, that was actually my point, because I think they have to, because when you really stop and think about what we're going to have, you know, we're not going to have a bullpen. I mean, Jensen and Martin are going to be gone. You know, other guys are going to be gone. We have like maybe 2.5 starters. We have an exodus. I mean, we have a surplus of left-handed. Like something has to happen, and they're going to have to trade, and they're going to have to spend money. I mean, they're going to have to. There's too many holes, and from what I can see, not enough coming. To say that we can do this all internally. I mean,
tell me if you think I'm wrong. Yeah. They're going to have to trade at least one player who you're looking at right now. You think is part of the foundation. Like, I think they're going to have to trade at least one player. Like, and I'm talking about maybe Abreu. I'm talking about maybe, you know, Rafaela. I'm talking about maybe Casas. I'm talking about at least maybe Duran. But you have to trade at least one player to even things off here to get either what you need and some of the things that you talked about, the bullpen, starting pitching, or just to balance things off a little bit. So, you usually don't say that.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, but their whole approach has been so conservative. And at some point, you've got to do something radical. You know, you've got to be, you know, you got to make some, you know, some big moves. I think about like the Mets in '86. They made when they thought they were ready, they made some big moves. Unfortunately, some of those involved the Red Sox. But you know, they were ready, and then they radically changed their team. I mean, that's just what I said. I feel like we need to do here. This has to be next year. This team.
And Jeff, I will also say this: I'm not only talking on the field. I'm talking about learning lessons learned off the field, too. I'm talking about lessons learned about clubhouse dynamics. I'm talking about lessons learned about, hey, is it important to have maybe a more of a veteran position player, an everyday veteran position player who can you know, to take some of the heat off guys who don't want the heat, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The whole thing has to be, has to be rethought, so... Yeah. Here we go. Anyway, there's a chance.
Exactly. All right, here we go. You're saying there's a chance. All right, Jeff. All right, thank you, man. All right, let's go to Steve in Fall River. What's going on, Steve? How are you today?
I'm all right.
Good.
All-time great. Jeff's great. I'm all-time great. And let me tell you why. I want to talk about three people today. Two real, one mythical. I want to talk about Alex Cora, Trevor Story, and the mythical Johnny from Burger King. Alex Cora, up until yesterday, had the Red Sox going 3-12, and we've already know that just .500, and they'd be in the mix. Could Johnny from Burger King have led the Red Sox to 3-12 during that stretch? Or maybe what would be a good zero?
Let me ask you this: could Stephen Fall River have led them to better than 3-12?
I could tell you this much: the guy that pitched the Criswell would still have come out for the next inning. I can tell you that much. Maybe somebody would have come down. They would have been yelling at me on the phone or whatever. But the guy with the perfect game from four innings would have been out until I saw he was out of gas. I would have thrown everything else to the wolves. Trevor Story, I started the season calling all the shows. I don't know if I told you. And I said this before he got hurt. He was worth 10 games in this lineup over last year because of the miserable infield defense they had. Yeah, last year that cost them a countless games. And as you know, we got hurt, and they went into this funk for 9 games. They pulled it out and got on a good streak, and now they've obviously hit a problem. You said having a veteran player in the lineup. That's Trevor Story. Apparently he was well-liked because they lost their heart when he got hurt. He's exactly the guy to come back right now. Be in this lineup. He's a streaky hitter, Rob. You know he's had some streaks here in Boston. If he can get one of these streaks going right now and lead this team to the playoffs, he has a chance to change his legacy here in Boston. I hope he will. I think he knows that. He's been out. He has been a disappointment here. But in this next 20 games, and if they got lucky enough to get into the playoff series, this guy's got a lease on life. He's never going to have a shot again. And you're talking with the great guy on the previous call about next year. This year is not over yet. September 15th is 8 days away, which I keep telling everybody is important. They need to make 2 games up in the loss column on the next, it was September 15th, to be 3 out in the loss column to get the half games now. You only look at the loss column, and then they're in striking distance going in from the rest of the season. And that's right. Where they need. They're going to make 2 games up in the next week.
Steve, remarkably, I don't disagree with a lot what you're talking about. I said this about Trevor Story at the beginning of the year. I thought he was going to be an all-star, watching him every day in spring training, watching, you know, in that first week of the season. It was a different dynamic. It was a different dynamic defensively. I thought he was going to have a good offensive year. But when people talk about how bad they've been defensively, leading the major leagues in errors, you know, it's not just the infield. It's everything. But having that anchor at shortstop, and people don't understand how good Trevor Story is defensively, that is a big, big difference maker. And why guys have come in and been okay there is an element of Trevor Story, and Steve hit on it too, like having a veteran there. I'm not saying what I was talking about also was the clubhouse dynamic of having the guy that is definitively the guy who's going to talk, the guy who's going to take the heat off. You know, really last year it was Justin Turner to a certain extent, but the guy who's playing every day and guys who don't want to talk, you know, Rafael Devers or whoever, like just taking some of the heat, having the veteran guy like that makes a big difference.
Yeah, in terms of importance, those two are right up there, and then the bat is like if it
yeah,
comes
yeah,
back,
listen,
then you'll be
listen,
then you'll be
listen,
happy.
Joe, I mean the shoulders things are tricky. And we saw it last year even when he came back. Like this is that you bury him in the lineup, if he gets hot, he gets hot. But what you're looking for is change of mindset, change of performance, and whatever you can. And like I said last night, maybe we look back at Rafaela's swing. There it is. There you go. I don't care if it gets the White Sox. I don't care if it's against a team with the Chico's bail bonds in the back of their uniforms. I don't care. Like, you had to change that mindset, and maybe that did. And I certainly don't think that having Trevor Story hurts at all. All right, let's go to Tim and Lowell. What's going on, Tim?
Good afternoon, boys.
What's happening?
Number one, my first point, I have three if I have time to make them, but my first point, if the Red Sox had not given Cora that $21 million contract extension prior to the All-Star break, would he have been fired at the end of the season?
No, I already said this. No.
Okay, well,
Tim, the reason is, and here's the reason why, is that because knowing like why, first of all, he wouldn't be fired. They just wouldn't have renewed his contract. But like Craig Breslow is an analytical guy. Like when he makes that decision before the All-Star break or around the All-Star break, before the trade deadline, that is, like, I don't think he's looking at like, hey, listen, if we go 0 the rest of the way, am I going to change his mind? I think Craig Breslow took his time making this. He's not a reactionary guy, so that's why I don't think what has happened since it would have changed his mind.
Well, I mean, at the time he gave it to him, he certainly looked like he deserved it because he had this team flying in the first half. So he looked like he deserved it, but since he signed that, things have kind of gone backwards. But now my second point, if I can. You talked about the Red Sox meeting the trade. I just about begged the Red Sox prior to the trading deadline to trade Tristan Casas to Toronto for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He was available, according to reports. And, you know, and at that time, his value was higher than it is now. He has played poorly, in my opinion, since he's come back. And his value now is dropped over what it was. If they had made that trade, they would be a wild card team right now, Rob. And my last point before I know you'll give us a very informative comment on that is the Trevor Story with his .220 batting average is not going to do very much to help this team. I'll say it, and I've said it to you before, worst free agent signing in Red Sox history.
Well, right now, not a good free agent signing. The fact is that he hasn't played. There's no question about it. But as I come, and I can only go by how I feel, and it's a hypothetical, which isn't the world that you want to live in when you come to free agent signings. But I do feel like this guy was so important to what they were doing and what they continue to do. That dynamic. In other words, everyone's focused on Marcelo Meyer, right? He's the shortstop of the future. No. Like, that's another decision they're going to have to make. And if Trevor Story shows he is healthy at his age, with healthy shoulders, which hopefully he'll show in the next couple of weeks, then you have a really tough decision when Marcelo Meyer's time comes next year. Because Trevor Story should be the guy playing shortstop. And that is what you need. You need this team. If you had to say positionally what this team needs more than anything else, it is a player like a healthy Trevor Story.
And just that for the record, you are saying Marcelo Meyer is coming up next year at some point. It could be spring training.
Well,
I mean, it could be midseason.
Listen, he's not coming up in – he's coming up in spring training.
But at some point in 2025.
March 17th. Yes, he will be playing in the March 17th game in Bradenton. Yes, yes. No, but I know what you're saying, Joe, that you're – that at some point he has shown enough. He's in Worcester now, Joe. He's in Worcester now. I know he's not playing because he's hurt. But as Brian Abraham, who's going to be on with us at 1:30, told us last week, Joe, that he has done enough this year to show that he's back on track. He didn't say this definitively, but insinuated it, that next year is his major league year. Right? You would disagree or agree?
Absolutely agree, 100%.
All right. David in the car. What's going on, David?
Hey, good afternoon. So here's my thing. Baseball isn't boring. But the Red Sox are boring. So is Alex Gore. So is this whole organization. Worst mistake they made was keep Alex Gore. They should have just finished the year and let him go. He should have been gone already. No, we couldn't wait. When the Patriots didn't win anything since 2018, we could not wait. Everybody kept talking about it was time for Belichick to go. So why are we so certain, the organization, fans, whoever is supporting Alex Gore, why are we so certain that he's the guy? He hasn't won anything since 2018. So why is he the guy? Why?
What? Well, again, because why is he the guy? We don't know if he's the guy. We know here's why they think he's the guy. I'll lay this out for you. Is that A, he took two teams deep into the playoffs, won a World Series, got to get the ALCS when nobody really thought they were going to do. And in both cases, the postseason manager that you saw was probably an elite postseason manager, one of the best postseason performances in both cases that we've seen in some time. Why? Also, because exactly what he showed for the majority for the first half of this year about getting the most out of players, and that's what you want. Okay. Now, conversely, yes, it's a results business. Last place finishes are last place finishes. You can't keep doing this. I think that these last couple of weeks, however this plays out in terms of the narrative with Alex Cora, is going to be important because – this isn't last year. This isn't taking on water where you have guys out for the year, guys are hurt. You do have some glimmer of hope. You do have some guys coming back. And basically Aaron Boone did this last year, at the end of the year with the Yankees, where he kept that team going to the end of the year, and you give them a lot of credit for that, where the Red Sox just dropped like a stone. But this year, if you do finish strong, you get through this White Sox series, and you are able to – even if you don't make the playoffs, are able to play above 500 for these last 3 weeks, then that narrative changes. But if it doesn't, if that doesn't happen, then we're going to be going through this all over again because, once again, it is a results business, and results for the last 3 years will not have been good when it comes to the most important time of the season, and that's August and September. All right, Allison in Cambridge. Hey, Allison, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. Hi there. I just want to say that I feel like this offseason, everyone from my point of view is on the trade market other than Rafi.
Everybody? Hold on. Let me think about that for 2 seconds. I would agree with that.
Everybody's on the trade market.
Yep.
I mean, there are other players I like.
Tanner Houck, I might be reluctant to trade, but go ahead.
But basically, that's the way I feel, either on the major league roster or from the minor leagues. Everyone is tradable but Rafi, anywhere. And basically, you know, 3 weeks ago, I was rooting for the team to lose, not because the people calling the game, other than Joe, and when Lou Maloney is with Joe or when Sean McDonough is with either of them, the other people calling the game are being happy pants, talking about the minor leagues, being incredibly annoying or just stupid. I can't handle it anymore. And I didn't like feeling like I can't listen to them and watch them with this wanting them to lose. And then I got this incredible feeling of peace, and I was like, yes, because Chaim Bloom really broke this organization. He didn't give his players who can play defense. Yoshida, that was the only decision I think was purely his. It was an incredibly stupid, foolish decision. I mean, that everything he's done, And the person who should be our shortstop is Xander, which would make Rafi so much better. And he was the leader of the team. He also spoke four different languages. That the fact is that I want Craig Breslow with Theo's support, if Theo would get involved. I want them to do the right thing. I want them, I mean, I would love it if they could bring Xander back, but I know that's probably not going to happen. But I want this team to feel like the Red Sox again. There was this huge continuity. And, you know, there's a thing in high tech. They say break things and then you fix them. Haim seemed like he was a very nice man, which is why no one wants to say anything bad about him, but he did a very bad job, and he fits with the high-tech people of, like, just break things. And he had some very annoying ideas about the kind of players that he wanted to find the diamond in the rough. Garrett Whitlock was so great, and he got him from the Yankees, but no, it wasn't enough to have him be a relief pitcher. I want him to be cheap. I stole him from the Yankees. He's going to be a starter. Oh, my God. I mean, he just ruined, even when he did good things, he ruined them. We should have kept Kyle Schwarber, as you pointed out. He knew that he wasn't going to keep J.D. Martinez, and then Kyle Schwarber would have been our DH, never would have gotten Yoshida. We never should have gotten Trevor Story, and Trevor Story wasn't even his decision anyhow. It was just people were like, after the lockout, we have to do something, and Trevor's agent lied to him. He would have gone to the Rangers, which is where he wanted to be anyhow, and kept playing shortstop. The whole thing is out of whack, and other than Rafi, and it's like, I want it to be good.
You know what, Allison? You want nice things. Why can't we have nice things? That's, and in this case, why can't we have nice things when it comes to actually having baseball in September, where you're like, you're on pins and needles, that you care about what's going on, and even if they don't make the playoffs, why can't you have that? I don't want to talk about Jacoby Brissett. I don't. That's me. Because this is baseball isn't boring. This is what I do and everything else. But I think for the entire region, There is something about having to pay attention in September to baseball that means something, that's awesome. And you go back to 2021, when they made the playoffs, like, they caught fire. I think they went 17-11. They had win streaks of 3 games, of 4, 5 games, and of 7 games. You know the last time, Joe Braverman, the last time this team won 3 games in a row?
It had to have been months. I think Fleming, was it June?
It was July. It was first week of July. Last time, yeah, they won 3 games in a row. They have not, since then, you have not won more than 2 games in a row. That is almost impossible to do. And that also doesn't bode well for finding one of these win streaks, but who knows? Who knows? Again, the great elixir that is the Chicago White Sox. All right, we're way behind the break. We're going to get going, but please keep calling in, 617-779-7937. Super White Sox fan who is agonized with this team. Friend of the baseball, part of the Baseball Isn't Boring family, Courtney Finnegan, calling at 1 o'clock. And so I just want to get a perspective of how much you have to drink when it comes to being in this situation. And Courtney had a great line. They have that, like, unbelievable, what is it called? The shake. You know that, Joe, you ever seen that shake they sell at the White Sox park? That,
oh, it's like a s'more. Is it like, yeah, a s'mores kind of thing?
Cody said, like, if that doesn't have alcohol in it, it's not. It shouldn't be a White Sox drink. I mean, it's so true. I mean, it's what they've had to go through is incredible. Anyway, 617-779-7937. I see you on the lines. We'll get to you right after a break. There you go. Maybe one of the most underrated baseball songs of all time. This, of course, the great band Green Day. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Joe, thank you. Excellent job by you, Joe Braverman, behind the glass.
Hey, it's one of your favorites. You know I'm a man of
I like Green Day, but I also think it's apropos. It's apropos. You know, it's like, isn't this what we're talking about? If you're the White Sox, wake me up when September ends. Like, I can go home finally.
They were more like, wake me up when July ends.
Yeah, I know, but they still have to show up to work. And then the Red Sox, wake me up when September ends, because we're going to actually know what's what when it comes to this team. Or maybe it's a contending team. Maybe it's a team that's, like, running away with things. Maybe it's the Brewers who are saying, wake me up when September ends, because I just want to get on with this and start playing the postseason. All of that. All right, but this is the path that we're taking, and we're part of that path. You're walking side by side with us. The Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. We're live here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, and the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150 official truck of the Red Sox. Keep calling in. People are very passionate, angry, informative, somewhat misguided, but, you know, educated. All of that. 617-779-7937. And speaking of people calling in, as we said, Courtney Finnicum, member of the Baseballs and Boring family, boots on the ground in Chicago, lifelong White Sox fan, and you aren't going to find spicier takes than Courtney. Go to check out her Twitter account or Instagram account, at Courtney883. She'll be jumping on at about 105 to give us a perspective, which we just, as bad as things are here, as low as you feel, you're going to feel a lot better after listening to Courtney. For a lot of reasons, but for a big reason, because you aren't a White Sox fan and she is. All right, let's go to Rick in the car. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Rob, what's going on, brother?
What's happening?
Rob, I grew up, I grew up with John Tudor over in Peabody. His mother used to give me fish from my aquarium.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you know John, right?
Well, I know, yeah. Not really. I mean, I know that I'm a North Shore guy. And I looked up to John Tudor quite a bit.
Know him.
Nah, I mean, I know him, yeah, a little bit maybe. I know, but I'm not. Listen, John Tudor is much more important, had a much better baseball career than I could ever dream of. So anytime you mention John Tudor, I will scream from the mountaintops. This guy was awesome.
Rob, hey, that's Allison Call. I disagree. Listen, everybody got their own opinion. No disrespect to her at all. She's the guy I want to try to move in the offseason to somebody to take Devin's contract, and we can relocate that money. If someone could take that, to try to lure Soto over here. And then for the right hand of that, he was only on a one-year deal. Trying to get Teoscar Hernandez. And just let me ask it a lot and try to get Burns and fix the bullpen a little bit. And with all the prospects and potential, I think they got shot to be a pretty competitive team.
I think it's an interesting, Rick, thanks for the call. It's an interesting conversation because nothing should be off the table when it comes to this team. As much as they've shown progress and potential and promise, you still have somewhat mismatched pieces. And that's why you've landed where you've landed. Now, are they going to trade Rafael Devers? I would say 99.9999% no. In large part because of the contract. In large part because he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. And if you've learned anything, you don't trade away Hall of Fame players. You just don't do it. As much as he's flawed, you don't trade away Hall of Fame players. But that said, there's a couple things that you have to get your head around. You have to understand. You have to make sure this guy can get to the finish line physically. And like he isn't got the greatest athletic body. It is what it is. You know, plenty of guys have played baseball in that state. But you have to understand that you've gotten to this point in the season now more than a few times where he's had to fight through injuries. So you have to maybe get in a little bit better shape. That's step one. Number two is that you have to find out, you have to definitively say, okay, we're going to weather the storm at third base. And my guess is they're going to, that as much as problems of these had, I think that what they came into the season saying was true. If you have a better shortstop in Trevor Story, that's going to make up for a lot of what you're dealing with Devers. Once Trevor Story went down, I think that definitively hurt Rafael Devers' defense.
To be fair, without Story, his defense has been much better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, it's been better. Yeah, sure. But the problem is, Joe, is that this is what we can't keep saying that the defense is going to be better. The defense is going to be better. The defense is going to be better. And you're sitting here, if you landed with the most, and I know errors aren't the be-all, end-all, but the most errors in the major leagues. Like, you haven't fixed this thing, which you definitively said that we are going to fix. And what they'll push back would be, we didn't have Trevor Story, right? So, Joe, you tell me, before we get over, you tell me, like, what do you do? Like, tell me how you fix the defense.
It's hard because I think you have good defensive anchors, like Story and the infield, and then if you move Sedan to the outfield, I think that is a win in itself because I think Sedan, as your center fielder, is the future. So I feel like you were saying with the logjam, one of the outfielders is going to have
to go. The outfield isn't going to be the problem, Joe. I mean, the outfield defensively isn't going to be the problem. You have really, really good outfielders. The biggest problem is, A, you have to get better defense at catcher from Connor Wong, whoever it is, and B, consistent defensive performance, and B, it's the middle infield. And you've solved that, sure, with Trevor Story. And if you want to go into it and say, there you go, we're going to fix it with at second base, Zidane Rafael's our second baseman. Well, you better make sure whoever is playing second base is good defensively. You better make sure of that. Like Vaughn Grissom, I don't know what's going to happen with Vaughn Grissom. I think it's unfair of him to say this is definitively going to be your career path because he's only 23 years old. But you, whoever that is, you better make sure they can play defense. And if you better make sure that this solution to Rafael Devers' problem, you say, Joe, that he's better, sure, he's better, but he's still not good enough. Like Alex Bregman sitting there as a free agent, and they are not going to sign Alex Bregman for multiple reasons. But you need to, if you are going to have better defense, you have to make sure third base is better, shortstop is better, second base is better, first base is better, catcher is better, one way or the other. Because we have seen now, Joe, these other teams that they have faced that are getting on these hot streaks that are good teams, Arizona, New York Mets, these teams that catch the ball. So there you go. This is my rant. You're welcome. All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, 617-779-7937 to set the scene once again. Diehard White Sox follower, our boots on the ground, Baseball Isn't Boring, White Sox correspondent Courtney Finnegan calling in after the break. Also, Brian Abraham, friend of the program, friend of the family, he'll be calling in once again at 1:30 to give us the what's what when it comes to the farm report. And then at 2 o'clock, the first ever Woo Sox Power Hour with Natalie Norry, sideline reporter for the Woo Sox, and Tyler Murray, obviously part of our family with the Red Sox broadcast, but also has seen a ton of Woo Sox games as a broadcaster there. And don't miss it, the first ever Woo Sox Wasabi Challenge. We have secured the wasabi. Someone will be eating it and suffering for not knowing something about the Woo Sox. All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.